Baseball.com's official podcast. I'm Dan, the executive editor for the site, and I'm here with some very special guests. We got Nick, the owner and president of the site. How's it going, Nick?
It's going good.
We got Scott, who's our graphic designer and a contributing editor for the site. How's it going, Scott?
It's going good.
And we have Corey, who's a current writer for the site. How's it going, Corey?
It's going pretty good.
That's good.
It's doing pretty good.
So
one up us.
The big stories, obviously, we'll talk about a couple things here today. Kind of do a quick rundown. We got Tron Legacy, obviously, is the big viral stuff going on. Crazies just opened up, and that's our first viral of the year that we've talked about. Repo Men has been getting a lot of cool stuff lately. Olympics, Lost, and it's a couple of little things, including our contest. So, Nick, I'll let you start off with the Tron Legacy stuff. It's been probably the biggest thing that's got us the most people watching our site lately.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on, and it all started last Wednesday. I'll just give you a quick summary, and then we'll talk a little bit about it. Basically, last Monday, they sent these bits out, and if you're not familiar with Tron, bits are basically, I don't even know how to explain them, but it's a yes and no. They have characteristics, one meaning yes, one meaning no. There's also a third one in Tron that's neutral. And basically, they sent out these bits, and they're shapes, like one's a diamond, one's a circle with edges, and the other one's a spike ball. I don't even know. And they sent those out to places. The first one actually got to, I want to say Puerto Rico. And it got there early because in America, we didn't have mail because it was President's Day. So they got that first. So that's how everyone found out about the zero-hour site. And then the next day, on Tuesday last week, everyone started receiving bits. I got one. I know some other writers on our site got some, and a lot of people at Unfiction got them. And that was basically kind of the start of the campaign. They had stuff back at Comic-Con with Flynn's Arcade. But this was the start of the campaign, I'm going to call it. And then basically Zero Hour was a countdown with a binary clock, and it counted down to it was actually 2 Wednesdays ago that bit stuff happened. It counted down to Wednesday last week.
24th.
Right, the 24th at 8 a.m. And after that happened, it was revealed that there were all these locations people had to get together. And once they got them all together, it led to the Pit Cell website. And the Pit Cell website said, hey, there's going to be an IMAX screening. We were the first one to find that Pit Cell website. I don't care what anyone tells you. we had that exclusive up first. And then about 40 minutes later, some other sites decided to put it up and say, hey, look what we found. But basically, that led to the IMAX screening of the trailer. And you might have heard a little bit about the trailer, maybe descriptions and people's reactions to it. They so far haven't been positive, and maybe we can talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
Basically, people were disappointed that they only got a trailer, and I know that people from Toronto flew down to New York City to see it, which I still don't get, because there was a screening in Toronto, and it sold out after New York City.
That's weird.
Yeah.
And to pay them back, they've officially renamed it Toronto.
But yeah, no, that's the one story that everyone keeps hearing. This guy flew from Toronto down to New York City, and they actually at the New York City screening said someone flew here from Toronto and he stood up. So that kind of sucks for that guy. He should have flown to LA. He would have gotten a better show, because LA got the cream of the crop. They really got spoiled at LA. They only showed the trailer once, and that was one of the big things. And then a lot of people were expecting more of an event than just a trailer.
Yeah, and the LA event is where they actually had the director there, and they actually showed it twice, which is kind of cool. But the big thing is they actually had the director there, and I can't remember if they had anybody else there too. But,
well, they had both directors.
There's two. So yeah, they had the directors there, and they actually got to talk to them a little bit, and that's why we got a couple exclusives lately about the IMAX, about how when it's being released on IMAX, it's going to be they're going to actually have like 5 different sequences that are full IMAX in terms of the scope, so it's not just the widescreen, it fills up the screen. So little things like that you can actually learn from it. But so yeah, they obviously got the best out of it all.
Yeah.
That was weird. And then
they got the best of it all, and then all the other theaters got Jeff Bridges' brother Bo.
Yeah, no, I think
let down.
Yeah, and in general, I think it was kind of a letdown for a lot of people, except for maybe if you're in LA. But like, that's the thing that surprised me. I mean, this was a big event. I mean, I spent a good part of that day, the Wednesday, you know, covering every hour, trying to, you know, get all the little updates here and there. And then Nick took over, and, you know, he had tons of stuff that he found. And, you know, we really took a lot of time, especially that day, trying to figure out all the stuff. People were, you know, had to go to different locations, and it was all around the world. It was this huge thing. And all it was a screening of a trailer, you know, that we're going to see at the end of the week. It's like,
right.
It's, I mean, granted, it's on an IMAX screening, but, you know, it's just like, it just seemed like so much work for such a little outcome, unless you're in LA. And no one even knew that was going to happen in LA. So
I would say it would be better even if they had just said, after that hunt, because that's what most people are following this for, is because of the hunt. They like to do it.
Right.
To look for clues. But I think if they had said on the Pit Cell website that it was going to be a screening of the trailer and not calling it an exclusive limited event, right, they would have saved a little bit of backlash because people would have gone there knowing what to get. In fact, they probably might have gotten a little bit more positive press because of what happened at LA. LA.
Yeah. And I think that's an issue you have to worry about there is, like, you know, do you want to over-promote it or under-promote it? And you just got to be a little more honest, I think, with people.
Yeah.
And
I think, too, you get to the point where most people pretty much knew what was going to happen. I mean, Corey wrote the article right off the bat saying, you know, it's probably going to be a trailer.
Yeah.
So, you know, people knew what was going to happen. I think some of the other stuff, too, is that you get a little bit extra out of it. I mean, I'm kind of as bummed out as, you know, Dan saying that you go through all that much just to get a trailer, but they give you some extra sites. They give you,
they
know,
got
those full forums and stuff like that.
Yeah, they got the there's a lot more stuff now to be following, which is just fun.
Exactly. Right.
But they also got a trailer a week before it came out on IMAX screens and free T-shirts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you know, and for a lot of these people, like you said, there, it's about the hunt. And so the people that actually got the tickets, now granted, just because you got one of the prizes doesn't mean you got the ticket, but so it's a way of you saying that you were involved in this somehow. The people who actually went to the locations and got the cool stuff that they got, like the wallet and the coins and all that, you know, you get to have that and say, look, I got this from it. And people who got the trailer, it's like they got to say, hey, I went to this. It's like,
yeah, I would have been proud to go see the trailer. I think that's a good outcome.
Yeah.
I would have been happy to see it. I don't live anywhere near the areas, though. And I think it would have just been fun because the only people that knew about the trailer, give or take some people that read it on the big movie blogs when it was exclusively given by MovieVar, after the people on MovieVar read about it, you know, they thought, hey, maybe we'll see this too. So obviously there's a core fan base that found out of it through the hunting, and then there's some that just found out of it through MovieVar.
And you look at it too, is that, you know, you started off, I mean, obviously the whole viral started off huge at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Then this got like such a giant build up and a little bit of a disappointment and everything, but you're still talking 10 months before release. So who the hell knows what they're going to do next?
And
they could make it all up to you.
Yeah, sure. To what Nick said about the idea that this really is kind of the kickoff to their real viral. I mean, that's one hell of a kickoff, I have to admit. I mean, you can say, like we said, you know, it's a little bit of a letdown maybe for what it was, but I mean, this is a pretty impressive way to kick off your viral.
Sure. And a lot of people are already comparing it to The Dark Knight.
Yeah. Oh, it's the, you know, same company, so it doesn't surprise me.
Right.
These guys,
same company.
These guys know what they're doing.
They're giving themselves more time, so.
These guys know what they're doing. I mean, it helps when you have a big budget. I mean, you know, this is something where, you know, Dark Knight had a big budget, and I'm not sure how much their marketing played into the budgeting of it, but I mean, Tron is a big movie for them. It's a big tentpole movie. It's Disney, so it doesn't surprise me that they're able and willing to do all this stuff for it. But yeah, this drop location is starting to become kind of a more popular thing. Obviously, the last big one we noticed was 2012 had those things, and it's a really cool interactive way of doing things. And I mean, it's tough. Like, I kept wanting to go to the ones, you know, I wanted to go to the one in Los Angeles, but I knew there was no way I'd be able to. It's like the middle of the day. I was going to get work, even though.
Yeah, they actually, they said that a lot of people were talking on Unfiction about, they were like the 6-1 there, and they were there in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have to be, you just kind of got to be lucky in the right position.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of them, since it's a countdown, they know that something's going to be released. So they go sit in their car at somewhere they think's a popular location, like, you know, just guessing and hope they're near it.
Yeah. it was smart to do it at the arcades too. That was a really cool idea.
Yeah.
And yeah, we actually on our site that day we actually had the report about the girl from Paris and how she was like she lived like right next to it almost like not even a block away from the arcade. So that's how she was able to be lucky enough to get it. And,
right.
I don't know what happened with Madrid. That's the big thing.
Actually, something happened with Madrid and Toronto, as far as I know.
Toronto
Madrid,
too?
No one showed up. And Toronto, I think the wallet got stolen.
Oh, my God.
I think, if I'm right.
That's right, because they hit it, right? Yeah, so.
Right, they hit it, and I think someone took it.
Nice. But, yeah, in Madrid, no one even, like, showed up. Like, that's amazing. Like,
right.
I just think that's so funny. I'm like, no one in Madrid likes Tron.
Yeah, that's kind of just bad press.
It would have been funny if they had a screening there, because no one
would. I think that's actually written on Madrid's flag, we hate Tron.
It's on their official flag. It's like... But, yeah, I mean, I definitely think that they're started off well, and it'd be interesting to see if they use these sites continuously. Obviously, I think the Flynn Live site, they're obviously going to continue to use. But, you know, some of these other things that we saw, with it, you know, how would they build off of that, and what will they do? I still have to watch the original movie. I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it either.
And, to try to see if I can you know catch up and maybe even make sense of any of this.
Well, hopefully they don't go with too many extras. You know, I mean, within the 10 months, I mean, make it more you know physical, like Dark Knight kind of a thing. You start to add more websites. You got 10 months to get yourself lost in you know a viral marketing thing. I mean, obviously they know what they're doing, but I can't see too many more websites being added.
Yeah.
Well, I think for the Dark Knight they had like 30 websites or something.
They had a pretty.
It a lot of.
It was a little before we started here at Movie Viral, so it would have been nice to cover that and have a nice backlog to look at. The backlog, like you know, a whole catalog of all the sites and everything. And the other big event this weekend, this week was the Crazies, and I guess I'll start by talking about the premiere that I went to. We covered it on our site and had a few exclusives that. Alex from First Showing mentioned on his site, which was very nice of him. Anyway, so no, it was a great premiere. I mean, for if you haven't checked it out on our site, there's actually a video that they released of it, and I had a couple pictures for it. I couldn't do a whole lot because it was pretty crazy. The name Crazies.
no pun intended. No
too
pun.
Soon.
But. So, you know, it was a really great event, and it's funny how it all came about. I mean, you probably saw on the site where we didn't have the, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, I didn't know what it was. Like, they gave me this really cool dossier and that we talked about on the site, but I didn't even know if it was technically a screening. And then they finally, you know, they sent me the invitation saying it was, you know, it was a screening, and I just thought it was, it's just some bloggers, you know, whatever, just going to see a movie. And then... all of a sudden, you know, I go to this thing and I'm wondering if I'm even going to see it. Like, because I know I have to park a certain space and I'm like, oh, I hope I find the parking lot. And then, you know, here's this, you know, all of a sudden I see those military people everywhere. I'm like, what the hell? I guess this is where I turn in, you know? and so I turned in, it's like crazy. Like, you know, they keep rushing you through and everything. And then, you know, you see some of the crazy people and, you know, they're trying to keep them at bay. There's doctors and military people in the hazmat suits. And they give you a little medical band that can show. What was that?
Don't worry about it.
Stop using your vibrator.
Oh, come on, Dan.
This is a family show.
Yeah,
and,
it is.
But and they so you put the, they had the band on you and everything. And they go through and they you know make sure you're not one of them and the crazy. And then you go through all this stuff and it's just it's such a wild thing. People are taking pictures, but my iPhone, you know, you can't take quick pictures with an iPhone. You just get blurs. So
yeah.
I couldn't really do anything. But then you go into the movie theater, which is all it's you know they have the big Ogden Marsh cinemas on top and it looks really great. And then. Probably the coolest thing they had when you're in the theater was, you know, they had the military people walking around. They made it seem like you're kind of in quarantine or that you're, you know, you guys are the healthy ones. And then they had some guy out of nowhere, like, was apparently one of them because he said they had a breach of security and they pulled the guy out to shoot him or whatever. It was so cool. And then afterwards they had the party, which you've seen some of the stuff for. And it was all themed like that too still where they had, you know, the waiters were doctors like with the masks on and, you know, they had some of the celebrities there like Rhoda Mitchell was there. I talked to her very briefly and it was really cool. Like you saw, there was they really went all out with this thing in terms to make it look cool. I mean, you were on the if you saw in the movie, you know, there's a part where they're on school buses when they ship them out to a certain location. Like we got put on school buses, and you know, we had to go to
school.
Yeah, and it's funny because like the movie theater is like. The movie theater is only like about a block away, and they drove us like around, make it seem like it was longer, which is kind of cool. And then, like the long way around, because like we end up actually walking from the movie theater back to where the party is, which is right where the buses basically were. And so it's like they obviously drove us all the way around just to make it look like we were, you know, being taken somewhere far away. It was funny.
You can see the parking garage when you get out. Like, hey, no, there's my car.
Yeah, no, that's actually on the other side, so you couldn't see it, but. It's funny because they even had the windows like all like locked up, so you couldn't like look out the windows or anything. It was crazy. It was really cool. But, yeah, it was
like
really...
the bus driver yelling at you, "Sit down back there.
Keep your hands to yourself.
Stop touching Jimmy."
They had the military people though yelling at you a lot the entire time. They're yelling at you to keep moving and.
I found it funny that first showing didn't go.
Well, I mean, I don't think he thought it was going to be anything. Like, just like
I don't think anyone did.
I mean, I thought there was no implications that this was anything more than, hey, you want to go see a movie.
It was a premiere.
Yeah, it was basically it was a premiere.
They had the party and everything.
Exactly. So I had no. I mean, I didn't even know there was a party until the movie was over. You know, the movie's over.
That party was crazy.
That was crazy. I know. I kept saying crazy.
I don't
all the time.
Remember it.
But yeah, no. I walk out of the movie theater. Like, thanks, guys. No, but I walked out of the movie theater, and I'm trying to figure out what do I do. Like, I'm like, how do I find? You know, I guess we go to our cars, we leave. Okay, thanks. And they just kind of like tell you, oh, go this way. And they're like, well, if you want to go to the, you know, to the parking lot, or you want to go to the party, you have to go this way. And I'm like, there's a party. Like, this is after the movie's over. I'm like, I didn't realize there was a party until after the movie's over. And I walk up, I'm like, whoa, cool.
I still think he deserved it.
Aw.
He did.
Well, you know, people do what they got to do.
I think it's funny.
Nick has a little bit of an issue with Alex, apparently.
I talk with him all the time. I have no problem with him.
Oh, okay.
We're not going to discuss that in this viral cast.
Next time on viral cast.
Stay tuned. Behind the scenes. On E. Keeping up with
Making
Nick.
The viral cast.
Keeping up with Nick and the Kardashians.
I would like to keep up with the Kardashians. Oh, wait, never mind.
Off top.
Oh.
Ooh.
So that was kind of my experience, and a lot of people talked about it. And that obviously was something to create buzz. It was viral in and of itself, of course, but it created a lot of buzz for it. All the bloggers were talking about it, and apparently it didn't look like it did too much for the opening weekend, unfortunately. You know, Shutter Island in its second weekend won, and then Cop Out beat it out. I think Shutter Island had a little over 22 million, Cop Out had like 18, and then Crazies had 16 million. So it's kind of disappointing. I don't know. What do you guys think about the opening for Crazies?
Go ahead.
Yeah, you go ahead.
No, I was just going to.
No, you go ahead.
I will. I'm going ahead. Hey, everyone, I'm going ahead. I don't know, it was disappointing, but I think at the same time, too, you get so used to seeing all these remakes and how bad they are that I think it leaves a bitter taste in everyone's mouth. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think once people actually see it and they start, you know, after I watched the movie, I came home and I, you know, started tweeting about it and I looked, you know, searched for it, and 98% of the tweets were all positive. So I think it's going to be one of those things where next weekend, there's no contest. I think that movie is actually going to take the spot, so... I don't think they have anything to worry about. It's a little odd that they didn't get it right off the bat, but again, I think it's because it's a remake. It's a little.
It's kind of off season too. Like
it is. It's, you know, you don't jump with, you know, but who knows? I mean, you've got so many horror films coming out, you know, and all over the place. But I don't know. It just seems like an odd spot for it. But I think once the word of mouth starts getting out, then they have no problems. They're gonna bounce back easily.
Yeah, it reminds me of Avatar, where, you know, Avatar had a. A subpar opening. It had, you know, 75 million or whatever, but that's good, but it's not like people were thinking this was going to be like astronomical numbers, right. And didn't have it, and then look what happened. Like, it was just the buzz behind it had a better second weekend than it did the first weekend almost. So it's like it had all that word of mouth from it, and that's what made it keep going too. So this kind of reminds me a little bit of that on a much smaller scale.
Yeah, a much, much smaller scale.
Without blue people.
Who of you guys saw it? I know Scott saw it.
I haven't seen it yet.
Have you seen it, Corey? Is Corey even still here?
Oh, no, yeah. I'm sorry. I haven't seen it yet, but every single person I've talked to has given it nothing but positive buzz, and that completely gets me beyond stoked for it. So yeah, I'm seeing it as soon as I can. I'm going to see it.
Scott, what did you think of it, of the movie overall?
It's like I posted and I said it was a good film, a great film, and everything. But the more I think about it, I actually really enjoyed the film. I think it was a great way to start off the year, technically. it was far better than I thought it was going to be. Again, I'm one of those people that's thinking, it's a remake. How good can it be? But part of me was all biased because I wanted to see it just following the viral and everything like that. But it was really a great film. I thought, the scares were perfect. Mm-hmm. I thought the effects were perfect. There was, very little, to pick on it. But for the most part, I thought it was an excellent film.
Yeah, I really love it. In terms of the concept, that's what I mean. I know it's a not original concept, but they executed it very well. For such a good concept, they really figured out a really good way of showing it. I mean, what's scarier than a zombie that can think?
And you figure, you look back at some of the, other films. I mean, the film started off within, 5 minutes? You already got a guy with a shotgun walking across the baseball field. So yeah, it was like, whatever. We're not going to lead you into... Yeah. Here's what happens. We're going to start you off with this is what happens, and then we'll give you the story.
Yeah, and it was it had a great pace to it, I thought. And, they didn't beat around the bush at all. Like, it was very kind of, straightforward where they just, it was just driving, It was, I love movies like that where they really just don't try to, even the parts, see a lot of times in movies where it's like, oh, no, that's really our, that's my husband. You can't shoot him. It's like, I'm shooting this person. Like, they're really, once they know they're crazy, it's like, all bets are off. And,
it was definitely more of a violent film than I thought it would be. No. Some of this stuff was just a little, disturbing to see on the screen and anything.
That's part of it,
For me, was great, but...
No, I think that's part of it. I've sometimes said things are too gory, like with Daybreakers, and I get flack for it. But this one I thought had perfect amount of the that kind of tension scare where you're like, oh god, something's gonna happen, and then what you see. There were some great scenes like near the end. Mm-hmm. I'll just say a guy and a knife. That's all I'm gonna say. For people who have not seen it, but there's like some perfect scenes in there, and there's some great hilarious parts. And I thought the characters were good. I mean. The main characters are all acted really well, and the way that people acted, this is more probably writing and directing, but the way that they acted when they were crazy was just really good. You really felt it. It felt real, which is kind of hard to do sometimes with that kind of thing.
No, it was very cool too. I mean that most of the stuff too is again when you hold the zombies that can think, it wasn't just a mumbling of they actually had script and.
Yeah,
I don't think that there was any bad acting in this film. It was, it was just right on throughout the whole thing.
I think that was one of the things that actually kind of hurt the film, though, is the lack of big names. Possibly, I mean, when you're talking about, if we kind of go back to The Weeknd, you have the Shutter Island with the big names, Scorsese and DiCaprio, and then you have Cop Out with Willis and Morgan. So. And even Kevin Smith as the guy behind it, you had some big names this weekend, and in a time in off season like this, where it's not really the summer, it's not really a big movie time, that people kind of go for the names. I think,
it did have a big name, Romero's name attached to it, so it had the name.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not
if you want to.
How big of a name is that really?
You put for zombie films.
Romero's for zombie films, yes. I mean. Now, if you're going to see, if you want to see a zombie film, then that's not really an issue. I think you'll see it anyway, whether it says Romero or not. But for the general audience, I don't know how much of a draw the name Romero is. I mean, he's done a lot of stuff that's lately that hasn't been mainstream. I mean, the Diary of the Dead, things like that didn't really even Land of the Dead, which was less, I think, movie that made any kind of money. Like even that wasn't really a big opening. So
no, it's more of a cult following than anything. But
so that's why I don't think you're going to see. That's why the general audience doesn't really get it.
One of the big things I actually heard was the just name of the film, The Crazies. Mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds stupid, and I know it's a remake. Was the original called The Crazies?
Yes.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's obviously a remake. They're not going to change the name of it, but I heard a lot of people saying they just thought it was a funny name, and they thought it was named by a 4-year-old. because it's the crazy. Yeah, I heard a lot of that. And I think, like what Dan said, the lack of big names to the general public didn't really get the draw. But I think it's going to do fine. I don't think it was expected to do huge numbers at the box office.
I don't know what the budget was, but it couldn't have been big.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
You look at it, and two is, the crazy and stuff like that may sound a little odd, but you hear the name thrown out in the movie. You know, there's a scene where everybody breaks through the fence, and you hear, the crazies got through sector, blah, blah, blah. So so it's one of those things where they just really had no clue what to call these, people.
Right.
So
yeah.
Zombies.
It went crazy. That's what it is. So,
yeah.
Like you said, it'll be fine by next weekend. It'll take top spot.
I can't imagine they spent too much making that.
It was only $20 million budget.
I bet they spent more on that party.
I know, really. No, it was, so they'll definitely, and these movies, if you look at historically, zombie movies actually don't make a lot of money, but they also don't cost a lot of money. So that's not really too big of an issue. But it's definitely, I think the buzz alone has helped. It had like a 70-some percent on Rotten Tomatoes, so, and I really thoroughly enjoyed it. I think people who watched, we saw it in the theater, you had the people clapping during the certain moments and cheering and yelling.
Oh, yeah, that's at a premiere, though.
I know, but it's still, granted you're, a little bit hyped up. I mean, Scott wasn't at a premiere, and he had a little bit of that too, right?
Was not at a premiere. I had hooting, I had hollering, I had people jumping out of their seats at the end of it.
You
know,
it was
clapping. I even had a fight in my movie.
What?
Yeah, he did.
Really?
That's viral.
I had people going crazy. It was weird too because I tweeted about something was wrong with the theater when I got in there. It just felt like something was off. But it was not a sellout theater. It was a good sized crowd, but they got an ovation at the end of the film. So it's just if those people that were fighting in my theater are listening, you're an ass. And I couldn't pay attention to what
was it a good fight?
There was like popcorn throwing. I think there was one punch that I could hear from the background. I didn't get to watch the credits. So whoever's listening and they haven't seen the crazies yet, there are stuff during the credits I just couldn't see because I was too busy watching people get punched in the face.
Yeah, there was a little bit. I didn't stay through the whole credits, so I don't know if there was stuff at the very end of the credits, but during the beginning of the credits, you kind of see a little bit of like, well, okay, what's going to happen now?
Like news footage.
Yeah, it's like news footage stuff, and it's really cool stuff. And so I don't know if there's stuff at the very end or anything. So if anybody knows that, let me know.
But if you pick the right movie theater, you'll get a fight.
Yep. Yes, if you pick a movie theater that's not in your state capital, you're probably fine.
Oh, man. But, okay, so kind of going off that, let's go towards the, what we are all about, the viral for it. I know that me and Scott probably were the two ones that talked, that covered the viral the most. So kind of let's,
but Dan, you were part of the viral.
I was, but I already talked about that part.
Did you?
Well, I talked about the premiere. Well, the only thing I was part of really was
no. I mean the actual viral.
What do you mean?
Do you forget again?
What?
Your voice on the call?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Jesus Christ, Dan.
Okay, so
Dan was in the viral.
I didn't even tell Scott this. Okay, so.
Really?
No, yeah, I was going to tell him when we were talking the other day. I was going to tell him. So anyway, so I actually there's several different sites, and I'll let kind of Scott talk more about how they all interconnect and what they really are. But Ogden Marsh is the city, so there's a sheriffogdenmarsh.com, right? Is that what it's called? And so that's a site for the sheriff's department. And they ended up having a part where you could actually hear calls.
But we got that exclusively to log in.
Yeah, so
that we actually did. That's not.
Did you stop, Nick?
So we had so you could actually hear calls, and most of them there was one from Kim who's part of the viral, and then one from the other guy who's part of the viral, and then there is one that I happened to listen to this. Nick, when did you report this? Like a month ago, almost. Or something.
Yeah, but I wrote the transcript, so you didn't take the time to listen.
Yeah,
to
exactly. So I had read it, and I didn't listen to them because I was like, I didn't have time, and I was just reading what they said in case there was anything interesting. So the other day, because someone randomly commented on it a couple days ago, I decided, let me listen to these, and I'm listening to one of them, and it just seems like a generic, I just want to hear more about your department, and I'm like, that seems kind of weird. I'm like,
unknown male.
Yeah, unknown male. And I'm thinking, like, that sounds kind of familiar. I'm like, oh, that's right. When they first released the number, I called and left a message, and I totally forgot that was me.
This has to be recorded and put at the end of this viral cast.
Yeah,
this is going right now. This will be there.
All right, somebody do it now then.
We got it.
Anyway, so Yeah, so I thought that was really funny. Like, I didn't even know that until, like, God, so long later. I don't even know why. It's so random that I even figured it out, too, because it just happened to be that somebody commented on the page.
Yeah, and now that I listen to it, I'm like, that is Dan. And it just sounds like this really just generic man voice.
Yeah.
I want more information on your department.
I didn't know if they're gonna even let, because you know when I called, I didn't even think they would even let me leave a message, or right. I didn't know what they're gonna do. So I was like, well, oh, there's a message. I'm like, can I have more information about your department? and I didn't realize it was me when I listened to it.
I like how you said, give me a call back at this number. And that was it.
I was always wondering that too. That was the weirdest part about it. Give me a call back at this number.
I wanted to see if they call me.
I remembered that too. I'm like, who said this number and what is this number? You better hope they have caller ID.
It's part of the viral.
Yeah.
You have to figure out the number.
I got it right here.
Yeah, it wasn't until I listened to it, and then, you know, I didn't think much of it, and then it was the second time I listened to it because I didn't hear the first part because there's a little bit of a break, and so I kind of missed the first part, and then I listened to it again. That's when I kind of was like, this sounds familiar, and then that's when I realized it was me. That's so weird. That's just so funny to find that out so much later than it came out.
Really is. Unknown amount.
There we go. One part of – oh, you got it, Nick?
What?
No. You have it?
Yeah. Hold on. I actually have to play it. I'll play it later.
So let's see. We had you at the Crazies. We had Nick on District 9.
Yeah.
So, Scott, when's your turn?
Yeah. I don't know. I might get, like, a romantic comedy if they ever
see it. Well, I mean, you've had your little – you get chats with the people.
You actually talk to people, yeah.
Yeah.
I talk to people. And I'll tell you that the people from, you know, the Crazies and Take Part and stuff like that have been incredibly awesome to us and noticing.
Yeah, we got our first premiere screening.
And they were very receptive to Scott's criticisms.
Yeah.
So stay tuned to my review of the viral.
Yeah, we'll have that out soon. But anyway, so yeah, let me talk about my thing real quick, then I'll have Scott actually go over the whole viral. But I got the comic books they actually released. They released 4 comic books. I have the 2 I have to go to the mail to get tailored to still. But and they're actually really good. They give you a lot of great insight into the actual minds of the people that go crazy. And, you know, it kind of shows you a little bit about how they go crazy, what are they thinking, what's going on, a little bit of the background in general. It's really cool because the movie, like we talked about, is very straightforward, very fast-paced kind of, they're not sitting by the side of the road contemplating all this stuff. Like, you know, the movie just goes, and it's great. So they have to kind of do this a little bit to kind of give you a little background in case you want to know all that stuff. And that's what's so great about the comics. And they're really well designed. I mean, I don't know the comic books artist names, but they made it sound like these are, like, top-notch guys. They have the whole list of names, but I'm not a comic book guy. So I'll actually probably...
I haven't seen the books and stuff like that, but visually from the links and the covers and everything like that, the artwork is beautiful.
Oh, it's great. It's very stylized, but very cool. And it helps a lot with trying to, you know, understanding how these people are thinking. And when the DVD comes out, probably I'll actually give away all 4 comics to somebody.
Yeah. I just got like a stock tip.
Let me see if I can't do this. Hold on. Let me check.
You gonna try to do it?
Right, hold on. Can you guys hear that?
No.
Okay, continue.
All right. Best viral cast ever. But, yeah, so that was kind of the big thing I really liked. And so if you guys want to go out and get those comics, they're actually really cool to get, and especially if you're a comic book guy, because apparently they're by some big-name guys, and it's really, really nicely done. And it really gives you some insight. And if you really want to know more, like, you know, a lot of people kind of watch that thing, like, oh, I want to know more about it. The viral in general helps, but so do the comics. Yeah. So, Scott,
and it's cool, too, because, I was just about to add to it. Like, I mean, I want to go out and get the comics and stuff like that, too, but I know that you can get the motion comics on iTunes.
Yeah, that's always cool.
Like a buck or two or something like that. It's nothing ridiculous.
It's actually cheaper.
They look really cool.
Yeah, it's cheaper than the real comics.
I'm going to have probably within, you know, around the same time that this is up online, we'll have my my viral review, and you know, I'm not going to go too much into it now because I'd rather have you read it. but it was one of those things. I think one of the first things that I mentioned in my review is the fact that it got so much hype right off the start. And you know, it's one of those things as to why, you know, because we talked about other viral sites and stuff like that. We've ridiculed them because they blatantly post their, you know, what the movie's for right on the viral site.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how this one started. It was a viral site listed at the end of the trailer back in October. So it's, you know, you look at it and you're thinking, well, one site before posted that it was from the 2012 experience and we gave it shit. But this one, you know, we were all over it. I mean, most bloggers were all over this viral, you know, and some virals get skipped easily, but, and I don't know, I think, and it's just because of the fact that now you're looking at a horror film with a viral.
Yeah.
You know, most of the other sites, you know, it's not a typical kind of a thing. You know, you get these action adventure films and you get these sci-fi films like that. Now all of a sudden you have this, you know, horror film coming into the picture with these, you know, this viral. So, I don't know if that's what exactly led everybody into it, but it just seemed to start off with this huge following.
It's interesting because the first site, which was that Ogden Marsh site, was very generic and didn't seem very interesting. But I remember Scott was the one who was like, you know, stay tuned because this might get really cool.
It was one of those things, too, is you look at it, and yeah, the site when it first came out was boring. But guess what? It's for a small town with the population
in
the movie, say, 1,600 people. So, you know,
it does look like a site that would be for like a little town like that.
Yeah, no,
other than Los Angeles and stuff like that, find me a municipality that's got a really kick-ass website. And, you know,
welcome to Binghamton.
Yeah,
exactly. They did a great job college student making this site,
No, yeah, and that's the thing. I knew that. And I knew that they would, you know, I thought that was cute and I thought it was cool that they did it and it made sense that it looked like that. But I don't think anybody, I didn't really have the foresight to think, like, man, they're going to do something really cool with this. I thought, oh, maybe they'll do a couple little viral things, but nothing crazy, quote unquote.
On number 8.
I know. But Scott really seemed to be, you really kind of seemed to be the one that's like, look, pay attention, this might get really cool.
And it was like me with District 9.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. You know, and it was the truth. I mean, you're not gonna come out with, I mean, no, and basically a well-known, you know, type of a film as this could have been kind of a thing. You're not going to come out and go all
surrogate. And the angels and demon it?
Exactly. surrogate's the film where you create a viral and forget about it. But
exactly.
It's just, there was something about it that was,
you said
I don't know. Yeah. It just seemed like something was going to happen.
Yep, and it definitely did.
And we got a premiere out of it. Yes. Thanks, Scott.
Exactly. You're welcome. So, no, but it was really, I mean, it was fun. I mean, yes, I went off and I picked on the viral campaign and stuff like that. They were awesome. They wrote back, you know, and explained, you know. But some of the stuff actually turned around. It was kind of like a hold on
thing. Right. We had a... And I'm glad that they do that, and other companies have been doing that too. And I like seeing that, like with Sony, we talked about District 9 with them, and then they kind of start to pick up their slack. And then 42 Entertainment on Unfiction will be discussing something, and we'll notice like a typo, and then the next day it'll be fixed, and it's kind of funny.
Yeah, right, really, exactly. That's great.
Yeah, and they don't want to lead you in the wrong way. So
right, exactly, and it was funny too because I was talking to Dan about this, I don't know, the other night, and. This will be in the review, but it was funny because here we are, and we're one of my biggest things that we riffed on was the OgdenMarshSheriffs.com. Mm-hmm. It's the website. It was spelled wrong. It didn't work. All this kind of stuff, and there's a scene in the movie where he can't log on to OgdenMarshSheriff.com.
I thought that was funny.
To me, I don't know if it was just well-planned, coincidence, but to me, that was just awesome. It was just perfect. You know, scenario to have that he couldn't even access his own website.
But it was nice that they even had that in the movie too, to kind of make that connection.
I mean, it was so quick that, you know, it was one of those things where here I can't make a phone call. Oh, look, I can't access the internet. And if you didn't happen to look at it, you know, where his browser was going, then you wouldn't have seen it. But you know, so it was. But no, they were. I think they honestly did a very, you know, good job on the viral. But again, you're going to have viral campaigns to where there's something wrong.
Yeah.
To somebody.
So. Yeah. There's always a little bit of that. But I think overall, yeah, I agree that, you know, where they went with it was pretty cool. It wasn't necessarily as expansive, at least, you know, pre-premiere. It wasn't very as expansive as some of the other ones, but it definitely, you know, had enough there. It was pretty cool. I like the little video of Kim getting attacked. I think one of the things that we really kind of knocked on a little bit in the film was was the fact that it ended so early, you know, outside of the premiere. I mean, all the sites and everything pretty much ended updating the week before.
Most sites usually go to the day before.
Yeah, like the day of or something like that. You get
after the spaceship takes off, aliens are still tweeting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and right now they're tweeting about their Oscar.
So cool. Yeah, but that was the one thing I thought was really weird was I think it was like the 17th or so even, I think, was probably the last time I really saw any kind of updates, which is, you know, a week and a half before the movie comes out.
It was a pretty big, you know, update when it happened because we thought was that final stage of, you know, the viral campaign, and they kind of just disappeared. Maybe, I don't know, maybe they had to spend time on your screening, but I don't know.
Like, we have to get a lot of models. Come on, hurry up.
But, you know, it gets to the point, too, to where, you know, the film itself is almost as good to where you don't have to nitpick the viral campaign when you compare it to something like 2012, where you've got an okay film and a fairly decent viral campaign. This one was a decent campaign with a great film, so you're just like, whatever, I'll move on.
And it's always interesting to see the comparison between how the VAR was and how the movie is and, you know, with different films where, you know, 2012 had a certain kind of expectation about it, you know, and then this one, The Crazies, had a different kind of expectation and how the VAR kind of plays off that, where I think that the VAR for 2012 was more about – I think people knew what 2012 was. That wasn't even the issue. I think that they were just trying to get people to kind of see maybe it looked like they were just trying to spend money, for one thing. But it also looked like they were, you know, just trying to get people to see that there was more to this movie than just, you know, oh, here's a bunch of explosions and waves and earthquakes. You know, I think they were trying to show that there was more to this storyline.
I'm surprised we haven't seen a Sony viral campaign since then.
Oh, I mean, that's...
That surprised me a bit.
It's only been a couple of months. I mean, it's not that...
they had the two going at the same time there for the longest time, and both of them took huge breaks. I would have expected to see something by now.
So, you got to have the right movie. I mean, this is kind of a dead time. I mean, you're right, though. I mean, like, the way they kind of had... Both those virals were pretty early. They started this pretty early.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, I don't know what they have down the pipeline. I'd have to look at their schedule. To see if there's anything that would even merit that kind of viral campaign. They may just not have anything right now, so...
I mean, they had a huge success with the District 9 viral campaign, obviously, and I don't know how well their 2012 campaign did. Mm-hmm. I think it did pretty well, but obviously you can't impact a big-budget film like that with viral marketing. It's just not... It's like Tron, too, in The Dark Knight. The viral campaign has really no... It is not necessary at all, and they're doing it for the fans.
Yeah.
And that's something good. It encourages the fan to talk about the film. It works. And that's kind of showing that right now, ARG, alternate reality games, and viral marketing is a separate source of entertainment than movies. They're both separate entertainments. You got the campaign, and then you have the movie, and both of them are entertaining, and they're both different storylines for the most part. And I know on Unfiction, or on Tron Sector forums, that's a website following Tron Legacy, and they're huge Tron fans. They were kind of getting angry. A few of them, not most of them, just like two of them, were getting angry that on Unfiction they were only following the campaign when they're not big Tron fans. And I think people have to realize that now alternate reality games and viral campaigns are a separate source of entertainment.
Yeah, I mean, because I think the marketing companies and the studios, they look at it as just a form of marketing. A lot of times, I mean, but they realize they're kind of playing off that whole concept. They're playing off the idea that people, especially, you know, you look at Unfiction. I mean, they're just sitting there waiting for a new arc, and so, you know, they're playing off that. I think for them, it's for the people making this stuff, at least, the really high ups. For them, it's really all about the marketing. Whereas maybe especially with some of these virals that we've seen, the people actually doing it, it's really about the story. It's really about, you know, getting this right and getting some interesting stuff going on. But even when we talked to Sony about the District 9, I mean, sometimes, you know, at the end of the day, this is marketing. A lot of times. I mean, no matter how much you want to try to make these things really cool or integrate them or make them, you know, their own story, at the end of the day, it's like, look, you know, when you have to make, when you're between a rock and a hard place, it's always going to go down to marketing. You know, you'll always sacrifice story for marketing. And I think
if you look, at 42 Entertainment, they're in a position where they're allowed more leverage than maybe
some of the other companies that are doing it.
Right. Some studio marketing departments, like Sony, they have their own marketing department.
Right.
So I think if you hire someone like 42 Entertainment, they have more leverage, they have more Obviously, now they're prestigious to the point where they're going to do what they want to do, and if you don't want to do it, they'll quit.
And it's almost like you're hiring them because you know that's what they're going to do. You know they're going to make their own story. You know that that's what they're going for. If you're looking to just, you know, keep your hands in the pot and to really kind of twist, you know, make this the way you want it to be, which Sony likes to do, then, you know, then you're going to
keep it in the house.
Yeah, you keep it in the house. You're going to make it more about the marketing.
Right.
But, you know, when you're really... You know, and I think the story part of it comes into play a lot more with movies that don't need it. You know, the movies that don't need viral, I think you have a lot more leeway to make it about the story.
Yeah.
Whereas a movie like The Crazies or even District 9, something like that, you're trying to create this buzz. You're literally doing it to get people to see the film. You're creating the story like always, but you're also trying to do the marketing. So that kind of balance is always tough.
Yeah.
And
right now, like, film blogs like First Showing and Slash Film are picking up on the viral campaigns, which is encouraging studios to continue to do them.
Yeah.
Because it's creating positive buzz.
Yeah. And we're becoming a world where, you know, it's much more interactive than we've ever been able to do. So, you know, you're right, where it's going to become to the part where, I mean, you see it like on Unfiction. I mean, there's people create ARGs just to create, you know, ARGs and reviews. Yeah. They create it just to do it. So, I mean, it is a new form of entertainment. And I think that you're going to start seeing it. Marketing is what started this for a lot of these things, but you're going to start seeing it kind of branch off to the point where they're going to be just doing these things to do them. I mean, almost every big, you know, 2012, I mean, I can't imagine why you would do that for 2012 because you don't need to, but they did it anyway. You know,
right.
And so, you know, that kind of, even Dark Knight, to a certain degree, I think that you didn't need to do that. And, you know, so you're seeing, just the fact they even do it like that shows that, you know, they're not just trying to market. They're also trying to, you know, maybe it's a different angle. I'm not sure. It's really hard to tell what their mindset is all the time.
If you compare a movie that had the big budget, like 2012, they didn't, quote, market it as much in viral marketing as they did District 9. With District 9, you saw the billboards, the report, the aliens, and kind of the major, just huge signs in these huge cities that would cause people to call this number right there. And so I think they had something like, I forget the number, but it was like 50,000 calls from cell phones on the spot next to the sign. So they'd have all those people calling. They'd figure out, you know, it's for this movie. But with 2012, you didn't see that. You didn't see them putting up huge IHC billboards. I know they had some signs there in, like, windows for a while.
Yeah, that's nothing.
But you didn't see the huge mass marketing like you did with District 9 in relationship to the viral marketing. So I think with the films that need it, they don't need it, but with the films that maybe need it a little more than the other films, like 2012, you see them doing more more general public stuff. And then with the films that don't, it's more kind of like for the fanboys, quote unquote.
Yeah, you look at the 2012 one. It was very hard to get into that unless you were part of it. I mean, we talked about that a lot of times. We would converse with the people behind it, and they always had issues that they had to create a site just to keep people up for it. There were so many different things going on. It was really hard to get into it. It was like the loss to viral campaigns.
Yeah, that was the one I couldn't get into it.
Yeah, and it was really tough. Yeah. I mean, whereas District 9 had a lot more kind of, you could easily get into it, at least in certain ways.
Especially there was a 6-month period where
there's that too. Down. But there was ways
District
where
9.
Yeah, no. After you could get into District 9 in the middle.
Yeah,
you
but
could
not
get
so
into District 9 easy because District 9 didn't have games and contests that you actually took part in. I mean, that's the reason why I followed 2012 is because I was actually, you know, trying to be a part of it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, if they didn't,
and you still lost.
If they didn't, shut up. if they didn't have the games and stuff like that, I probably would have dropped out long ago.
What was it? You had like 15 representatives. What were they called?
Listen, let's not talk about
that. What were they called? it's
advocates.
Yeah, you had 15 advocates, and the guy that won had zero.
And one had none.
That's so wrong. But yeah, the thing is, like, you know, they're willing to do more story when you have nothing, because you, like I said, the 2012 was a great example of that, where they didn't need the viral, and so they made it more of a story, much more complicated story, and they obviously cared about people following the story. That's why they created the entire site to help, like a guide. They had a site that was just a guide to the viral campaign, which I've never seen before. That was really cool. And so, you know, and they did this thing called Charlie Frost. That whole, a lot of his stuff was just recapping things, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this was, they really wanted you to be able to follow this. I mean, even though, you know, if with District 9, it's more like you hear about it, that's enough. You know, like, oh, there's something going on. Okay, that's good enough. District 9's in my mind. I'm good. But 2012, it wasn't enough. Like, they knew it was going to be in your mind. They wanted you to be part of it. And I thought that was really cool, that at least they really tried to get you to be part of the story, because it didn't really matter in terms of marketing. So, Yeah. I thought that was really cool, and I think that we'll see that a lot more, too, with these big-budget films. It's like they really want you to be part of this because they know that it's almost like a brand loyalty kind of thing where it's, you know, instead of it just being – District 9 is more about you kind of hear about it off, you know. Obviously, there's people following it, but you're also going to have the people that just kind of hear about it, you know. Like that one little thing, oh, like there's some site, oh, there's billboards, oh, you know, oh, there's something you could call in. You know, these little one-offs, that's enough for them to get it into your mind. But that's not what they're going for with these other with these big budget films. They're going for brand loyalty. They're going for, you know, they want you to be part of this and to feel that, you know, to get other people involved. It's just a different thing, and it's actually better for the story when they're able to do that.
Yep.
And there we go. Wherever you go, there you are. next thing I guess I want to talk about would be Repo Man. They've actually started doing some really cool stuff with their. They don't have like a full on viral campaign, but they do have a cool, really cool viral site, UnionCares.com, which is the company in the movie. In case you don't know about what the movie is, it's about in the future you can buy organs, like artificial organs that are really, really expensive, but you can set up a payment plan. That's nice, but if you don't pay, they come and they rip out your organs.
Take them out nicely.
But they still take them out. But there's a site for it that really markets it really well. The guy that plays Sabretooth in Wolverine, God, what's the guy's name?
Lee Schreiber,
yeah. So he's in it in the commercials on the site, and it's really cool, and they really market this thing really well. And, like, you know, this fake company, they're marketing it. And then the other thing they've been doing is this thing with Wired Magazine, which is where you can actually – they actually have some contestants where they're trying to, stay away from everyone and be invisible. And whoever finds them, you win money. And it's really cool. Like, if they can
– they have, like, rules they have to follow?
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering, like, one of them could just fly to Alaska and they're good.
Not necessarily, because it's about finding them. So you can still – even flying to Alaska, guess what? You have to pay for a ticket. You have to go through customs. You know, there's things that you have to do. So.
I'm pretty sure the customs people are not going to leak it to Wire Magazine where they are.
No, it's not as simple. No, if you
– For a price, they will.
It's customs people. They have nothing. No, but I actually read the article that this is based off of, like, before they even – decided to do it, and
I don't know much about it. I'm just asking.
No, it's really cool. Like, they, you know, there's a guy. They were trying to do an article about whether you could really disappear and start a new life. And so this guy had done it, and he was just a writer for the site. And then he did this whole thing where he was trying to stay away from 30 days and make it so no one could catch him. But they actually were giving some information about what they were doing. Like, the guy, the editor for Wired, would kind of leak out little information. So he had to try to be off the grid completely.
Right, and I know they put, like, clues or something in Wired Magazine. They hide stuff in there.
Yeah, and there was some of that. And then, just, you know, they were trying to get people – there were entire websites, you know, just like how, you know, we've seen sites created for film virals. You know, there was entire sites and forums created to try to figure this guy out. And so – that was really cool when I read it. And they actually found him on the 28th day out of 30. I was like, damn.
Oh.
It was a really good article. And so I thought that was really cool when I heard about this, because this is kind of a similar concept where you're trying – you know, these people get to actually win a good chunk of money. I think it's like, what, 750,000 or something like that?
Something like that. Yeah.
And so you see –
Is it that much?
Okay, you get –
sounds a little high. I don't know. I don't know at all.
Don't take my word for it.
I don't know nothing.
But yeah, so, you know, this idea is that these people would actually make – 7,500, sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That's way off.
Close enough.
I saw 75 in there. So, yeah, so you win money if you can stay away.
Jesus, man.
And no one can find you. I know. Well, and then, but if you're the one that finds them, you win the money.
There was a similar concept that used viral marketing. This team at MIT set up this website specifically for Altai. They hid 10 balloons, red balloons, all across the United States, and they said that the first person or group of people to find these 10 balloons will give, I think it was like $25,000 to.
Hmm.
And this group at MIT set up a website where people could submit it, and if they found it, they'd give them $2,000 of the money. And they found it in, I think it was like 3 hours. They found all 10 balloons across the United States. So, and they're from MIT, so. Yeah, so that was interesting.
That was
again just like the Repo Man. It's kind of a use of viral in order to find these people, a collaboration on a mass scale in order to find these balloons, and that's what's going to happen in order to find these hidden people.
No, it's really cool, and I think that what they've been doing with this group of men, it's been kind of almost like a, it's not a full-on viral campaign like we're used to it, but they've been, they have the one site, and they're doing all these different kind of alternative advertisings. That's been the big one that I've seen. But just the site and some of the other things that they've, the cool little pictures on their site and the way that, get people talking about the new post, the posters that they have. There's some really cool stuff out there that really kind of get people talking. Like these posters they had recently that Ian had posted up, what was it? We encourage you to drink irresponsibly, and they show a fake liver. Go ahead, have the cheeseburger. It's stuff like that. And it's just like, they're really taking the ball and running with this concept. And I think it's really cool. But there's been some controversy over whether this is a ripoff of Repo, the Genetic Opera. So, Scott, do you want to talk about that real quick?
Yeah, basically.
Corey, do you want to talk about it?
I know, Corey. Are you awake?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just doing some other stuff.
Corey's reading other blogs right now.
No, I'm just waiting for the right time to chime in. But you guys basically cover up whatever I want to say as soon as I was like, I think I should, and then you guys start talking about it. So
oh, I'm sorry.
I'm just waiting for Lost.
Yeah, me and Corey will just talk about Lost for a while.
There we go, and then I'll sign off.
Yeah.
Daryl Lynn Bussman is the director of Repo, the Genetic Opera, and he personally is not calling it a direct ripoff. He's just upset over the fact that people are comparing, going to him with questions and all these kind of different things on the new movie Repo Man. But the part that gets me is he just posted a new thing on his blog where a friend of his posted a site that blatantly calls it a ripoff. So, we just posted up the article the other day that basically there's some of the stuff that's comparable to the film, and yes, you could look at it as in, yeah, that's pretty damn close, but then there are other parts to where you have to have it in a film or it's weak. Mm-hmm. I made a thing, if you're going to repo my hand because I didn't make my payments, I think I'll be okay. So you're not going to write a whole movie about repoing a hand or, somebody's arm. You're going to go for the parts that hurt. It's not, to me, it's not a ripoff because you've had films about, how many mafia films have had somebody named Donnie?
Yeah.
They're not ripoffs.
There's always going to be those issues.
Write about. There's always going to be comparisons in these type of a film, and the fact that we've only had, two films about repossession of, body parts?
Yeah.
So, you're going to have two films that are similar, and you're going to have, controversy on them.
And it's legitimate, especially nowadays. I mean, that was in the 90s is when the Genetic Opera one came out, right?
Well, when it originally started, it was a 10-minute kind of a play,
That's right.
10-minute orchestra about
1990 or so,
about,
right?
1990, I think, is when that came out, so... But you're looking at the fact it doesn't matter when that actually came out. The film itself, Repo, came out in 2008, and they have Repo Men coming out in 2010. So it's like right around the corner from each other. But the book that Repo Men was written off of was published last year, but it was written like 10 years ago. So there's just all this different stuff that they're too close to call, but you can't say one's a ripoff, I mean, if Star Trek and Star Wars were written 2 years down the road, you'd have the same thing.
Yeah. And I think with the issue with this whole concept is that, the repossession of fake organs is becoming more and more of a realistic concept. That, like I said, the reason I say the play was written in 1990 is that, we're starting to come to the point where a lot more artificial organs are being done, and the way that everything becomes commercialized, and the way you've seen it with a lot of movies where you see these ideas of things that aren't commercial really now, they become commercialized. You see that a lot in films that are about the future. And so this is a very common concept, this idea that, that's, I can see it really happening, even where you really commercialize the idea of organ transplant or mm-hmm. artificial organs. So it's not really, if you're going to have that topic anyway, you're going to have similarities, naturally. You're going to obviously going to have certain things that kind of cross over. And like I said, mm-hmm. the movie's more of is based off a book. So if you're going to say anything's a ripoff, it's a book that's a ripoff of the play. But mm-hmm. even that, I wouldn't argue because, like I said, there's enough differences and. It's a generic enough topic that I think you can really...
I thought it was pretty close.
Yeah, I mean, it's close.
But like I said, there's
a reason for the argument.
I would almost... Yeah. I when I saw that, I thought it was a ripoff. I'm
I actually thought it was a remake.
But I think it's a ripoff in the sense that, like, Hollywood is all ripoffs now. But I did see more similarities in those two films than I think any two films should see.
We'll probably link it and everything like that. But if you go to the article that I wrote, there's a source at the bottom, Spooky Dan there. That's Darren's friend that posted all these similarities. I mean, he literally went through and posted all the similarities. And there are some that are just so blatantly close that, yes, you can't help but think they are a ripoff. But again, there are others that, you know, 90-day contracts, that's standard contract. You know, you're not going to say, well, you got 6 months to pay. You know, you're not going to do that. You're going to do
standard. Now, is this a concept, the repossession of organs? Is that a concept that's popular? Because to me, it seems like it's this kind of isolated idea that just they made a film out of back in 1990, and then a movie back in 2008, and then all of a sudden there's another movie on the same topic again.
And that's going to happen with everything. You know, we start talking about films.
Right, but if you look at the similarities,
similarities are going to be there. But go back in time and look at the first two zombie films and look at the similarities. They all walk with their arms.
So are you saying that the repossession of organs is going to become the next zombie thrillers?
No, it's not going to be that.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think it's going to become a popular.
No, I think. You're
dealing with the first two type of films in regards to that genre.
Is that a genre now?
No, it's too specific to be a genre. But I think it's a concept that's not out of this world, and it's a really interesting concept. I haven't really followed the original Genetic Opera one and what that storyline is, but, you know, it's like, this is something where you can really, this is going to be a common thing. I mean, I can see, like I said, I can see 10, 20 years down the line where this kind of environment it exists. And so, you know, to kind of explore that is natural and to want to do that. You know, this isn't something where it's just completely a random offshoot. Like, oh, what happens if California falls into the ocean? Like, you know, this is something that's actually probably going to be a realistic thing. And so it's like having two medical dramas or, you know, it's like, you know, Deep Impact and Armageddon. It's like kind of having a little bit of that.
Exactly.
I think those all have the films like you just named. They have their specific genres that they fall into. Like two zombie films, if you compare them, they're going to be similar.
Right.
But if you compare two films that are about the repossession of organs, something tells me that one of them is ripping off from the other of the idea, especially when you look at the specific similarities. I think the general concept wouldn't necessarily be a ripoff because that happens where people have the same idea. But if you look at the similarities, I've got to say that they've, quote, taken some ideas from the other one. Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it's Corey.
Okay, this is what I think. I don't care if anyone hates me for this, but it's Repo Men, the Genetic Opera, which has been around for, I don't know, and they made a movie not too long ago, like you guys said, and then here comes this more mainstream movie with Jude Law, Forest Whitaker, and Livy Schreiber, the guy from X-Men Origins. Okay, And like what Nick just said, it's Repo Men, the Genetic Opera, and then it's Repo Men. It's the exact same title.
It's Repo,
the Genetic Opera.
Almost the exact same title, same concept. It says this movie is going to be action-packed, terrible acting probably, because it's Jude Law.
Awesome.
And, you know, it's just...
Jude Law is the new Zac Efron, okay?
that they're stealing from each other is kind of stupid because every idea goes off of every idea, and every idea goes off of every idea. You know, District 9's not
even... These are literally the same things.
Well, yeah, I know that. It's just...
The same title.
It's just... You can look at it this way. This new movie that's coming out is just an action-packed version of the musical, minus the music. That's basically all it is.
Right, but they didn't have.
Actually, I think they both have music in them, but
they didn't have permission from the director of the first one to do it.
Well, I mean, it's not like they said, "Hey, I mean, you know, you can take that's what Hollywood does. You can say the Friday the 13th movies, you know, and say, "Hey, we're going to remake this. and we're going to have it so close to the original, we're going to piss everyone off, but then we're going to have it to where it's our own unique idea. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but, I mean, I think the Repo Men, aren't they denying that it's a...
I don't know. I'm not following.
No, yeah. The Repo Men... The people of the Repo Men aren't saying anything. It's only Darren.
Because they know.
Oh, no.
Keep your trap shut.
But here's the thing, too, is you look at it, and yes, it's all about repossession of body parts. Yes, that film came out 2 years ago, and you're doing it.
You make that sound like it's a generic just idea to have.
Because technically it is. You have a character that has something that belongs to the main company that he used to work for, and that company wants it.
But specifically in Oregon.
Whether it's body parts or...
District 9?
What?
Exactly. There you go. It's District 9.
Yeah, no, you know? District 9.
Wickus had a body part that the evil organization wanted. So what did they do? They went after him.
But these are called Repo and Repo Men.
Yeah.
I don't think the bad company. I don't think that's a coincidence. Like, that happens. Every movie has a bad company that is in this kind of sci-fi or yeah. That's very common. The drug, Z and Q?
Well, like you said, there are certain parts of it that are incredibly close.
The name, even? I don't know. I would think that they've definitely taken some elements. Maybe it's just that they like the genetic opera.
You do me a favor, then. I want you to go, and I want you to write a script about repossession men who take body parts.
But
don't use Q or Z. I want you to use Tylenol. I don't want you to be Repo Men. I want you to actually be, like, Collectors, okay? That'll be your new name, the Collectors. And then
if I'm a writer in Hollywood, I'm not going to do a film that has already been done.
Yes, you will, because you're a writer in Hollywood.
Exactly. If you want to make money.
No, I mean, that has literally already been done, like, and just reworded.
This isn't supposed
to be a remake or anything. This is
a completely separate script.
But they're not. They're.
Oh wait, that's right. Because you need three of them. It doesn't matter. I'm going to look at it as in Repo Men is going to be a better film because I like the way that Repo Men looks.
But, it probably will be, but yeah, I'm not saying it's going to be a worse film or anything. It's just I'm saying that they've definitely taken some elements from the genetic opera Repo.
I agree.
Sure, they have. Yeah, just like films about doctors with God complexes and stuff like that all take from each other. It happens. What are you going to do?
House is just basically Sherlock Holmes, but in modern-day medical setting.
Yeah. What are you going to say about that, Nick?
At least they didn't call it Sherlock, Dr. Sherlock or something.
House are almost the same thing.
Watson, Wilson? There's a lot of... The guys...
Dun.
The guy's even said it, actually. The guy that created the show, one of the executive producers, he's actually said that the whole character and the whole thing is based off of Sherlock Holmes.
Right, but it's a different play on the idea. Had they done a repossession of a different item, that would have been completely different.
But that's not the same thing. They totally...
Repo Men and they're taking body parts.
Right, you can't repossess other things and say you took it off of that. It doesn't work like that.
Furniture.
Huh?
Furniture.
Then you make the
film.
The Emilio Estevez movie, then, basically. But, no.
You're going to get your couch. The end.
We can't let him take our couch. Fight for your life.
Exactly. See? Can't let me take my couch. Yeah. Can't let you take my
couch. I'm not saying that, obviously, other... I'm not, like, saying that this is the only movie that has ever stolen an element from another movie. I'm just saying there's more similarities in these two films than should be in any Hollywood-made film.
This movie's Avatar.
This is basically Lethal Weapon and Die Hard. And there's going to be 17 of them each.
Lethal Weapon and Die Hard, not the... same. Moving on. I think we've covered that enough.
You have two cops that are too old for this shit? Oh, yeah. There's a
but one was not barefoot.
He was on his boat, wasn't he?
I don't know.
I don't even know what we can move on to now.
Well,
I think we should just keep yelling at each other.
Let's talk about something a little bit more prestigious. How about the Winter Olympics, which just ended? Perfect segue.
Do you believe miracles? No. Not anymore. I don't.
So,
maybe in 4 years, I will.
So why are we talking about the Olympics? Because everyone talks about it. There's obviously some... we had some clips from the Office. They did some videos that talked about the Olympics, which were pretty funny. And obviously, the Olympics is just something that people talk about a lot. Now. And I really actually followed the Olympics this year more than you.
So did I. Yeah, me too.
And
I just watched hockey.
Yeah, I watched hurling.
I hate hockey, and I watched hockey, and I loved it. So,
am I the only one here that watched like 10 hours of curling?
No, I watched it too, and I taught at least 3 or 4 people the rules and strategy of curling.
Yeah, so did I. By the end of my the first hour, I'm sitting there like, okay, I kind of get. And then by right. the end of the second hour, I'm like, okay, I get it now. And then by the end of the 12th hour, I was explaining to everyone
the first rule of curling: there is no rules because no one's watching because it's on at midnight.
No, they had it on during like midday.
Yeah, they did have it on. It was always on like MSNBC or something.
When they had I think it was the 2002 one, that year, they used to have it like, you know, at 2, 3 a.m. because right. it was in Europe. I can't remember where it was, but it was overseas. And so when I couldn't sleep, I just fall asleep watching curling because it's so peaceful. It's nice.
I counted
stop,
brushes.
Stop!
Hard! so great, but curling was for me was the nice kind of like passive thing to watch out of it. But I find it very fascinating.
I wanted to watch TV, and my brother's sitting there watching curling. So I changed the channel, and he just flipped out. I'm like, "Are you serious?" And then he's like, "Go back and record it." So I had to record 2 hours of curling for him.
The only thing that I'm going to remember curling for is on Saturday Night Live. Curling brought to you by Gynalocum.
That was pretty funny.
Vagina. What did he say? He
vaginal.
Said like
vaginal cream. I think that's supposed to be vaginal cream.
Could be vaginal cream. Vaginal creme.
Oh, no, that was great.
Covered that nice. That was a nice comeback.
That was good, yeah. No, it was basically that's all anybody really cares about in the Winter Olympics are hockey and bobsledding. So
bobsledding's really good. Although women mostly watch the figure skating.
I watched some figure skating, figure dancing.
Yeah, I don't get that. The ice dancing. It's like you're not even jumping or anything.
I watched America. It was the gold medal game. Gold medal dance.
If you've ever seen me in a dance club, I look like I'm ice dancing.
That'd be so beautiful. No, I was watching the gold medal ice dance, and America does this. America's group, two people, did this really beautiful dance, and I was very proud. And then Canada came out, and they needed like 104 points to win. And I guess that's a high. That's a lot of points in ice dancing. And I'm like, they can't do it. Let's go, America. And I basically got into my hockey mood while watching ice dancing.
No, I hear you.
And so they did this. Canada comes out, and they do this very impressive, beautiful ice dance. And they actually ended up getting 110 points and taking the gold.
Damn it.
And so I burnt my American flag.
You're going to move to Canada?
Speaking of Canada taking the gold.
From America.
God, come on.
That was amazing. That was a good game, though, but it was just like, you could see
25 seconds left. Do you believe in miracles? Yes.
That entire game, you kind of felt that like Canada had the upper hand.
Yeah.
If you search back through Nick's tweets, you'll see he gets sad in 10 seconds.
It was true.
It was, but it was good. I mean, like,
actually, I think. Let me see here. Go ahead, Dan.
I was just going to question what's up with William Shatner closing out the Olympics.
Yeah, that was interesting. Canada has some weird celebrities too, man.
Here's what I tweeted. This was when there was 25 seconds left. I go, "Go USA, USA!" And then another tweet, separate, "USA, USA, USA, take that, Canada!" And then another one. This is all within a minute. I go, "With 25 seconds left, do you believe in miracles?" Yes. And then when we lost, the first thing I said, "Well, it's time we invade Canada." And then I said, "Hashtag nuke Canada."
Oh man!
Which never seemed to, you know, never seemed to.
Pick that up.
We could take them.
What if that started trending? That'd be great.
I just love how the whole closing ceremonies was just basically a big stereotype of what Canada was. They had the beavers, the moose, and the leaves.
Bring back the giant dancing penises. They had that in the opening ceremonies. Did you watch the opening?
I watched a little bit of it.
Did you see the giant dancing penises?
That's Canada.
I'm not kidding.
That's Canada. They're super. Yeah. Thanks for asking. But
we actually, I think we might have a Canadian listening. The Bruce is a Canadian.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So there you go. But, yeah,
whatever Canada.
I know.
Nice hat.
It helps when it's your home field.
Just a nice hat.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So, anyway.
Actually, I said before the hockey game, I go, go USA, and he goes, I think you spelled Canada wrong. And I just said, that was the politest comeback I've ever heard, but I expect nothing less from a Canadian. Yep. So, that really was. That was very polite.
Damn Canadians. But, but we had the most medals, but they had the most golds.
Oh, we're still America.
We're still America. We're America. I agree with you though, Nick. Wouldn't like I'd be watching like some sport or games. I wouldn't even call some of them sports. Where it's just like I would never follow this, and I'm not even that interested. But like I see America, I'm like, go America.
especially speed skating.
Yes, I love speed skating. That was so good. Man.
Was anyone watching when it was? Apollo Nono or whatever his name is. Apollo Ono or whatever his, I don't even know. But it was the game where he tied the record, and it was the Koreans were getting the sweep.
Yes.
Oh, that was so the greatest moment in American history, as far as I'm concerned. Because I was watching that live, and do you know how proud I was? I'm like, oh no, look! And the announcer even did what I did. He's like, the Koreans are going to sweep. No!
Yeah. It was so funny. Yeah, it looked like all out of nowhere the Koreans, which were really good at that stuff, but yeah. I was surprised. I didn't realize the Koreans were so good at skating. But all three, all of a sudden, boom, they're in the front, and then the third guy knocked out the second guy or whatever, and then boom, Apollo gets the silver, like almost by default.
Do you think anybody yells out during curling? The United States.
I was
sweep.
I was yelling out in curling.
Sweep.
No one got that one.
Sweep.
Oh, boo-boo. No, I was actually shouting at my TV during curling.
We're pretty bad.
We were at a party, a big party at my friend's house, and we were watching curling.
Nice.
I was at a giant kick-ass curling party.
It was a big orgy of curling.
Oh, it was so awesome. We had this really long bar, and if you were at the end of it and you ordered a drink, you had to slide it across the bar while your two friends were like rubbing napkins on the end of it.
Did you guys watch the Saturday Night Live skit about it? The other one. There's the one that about the Telemundo covering it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That was hilarious. And they're like, it's like he's trying to melt the ice with the brushes, but it's not working. But it's very sad. It's like this talking about the beaches. It's like this is what happens when you have a country with no beaches. And he's like, we do have beaches. I'm sure they're very very bad beaches. Oh,
are you Arab?
Huh?
You sounded Arab.
That's my official.
Just any other accent other than American is Arab. Yeah,
that's my Canadian. That's my that's my Elvish.
I am from Canada. La 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 la.
Oh my god! I'm signing off of this podcast. We lose people.
Oh,
I think that's a perfect note to end it.
No, we still got okay. So we got to cover.
We still have stuff to talk about.
I just want to sum up our Olympic talk. Take that, Canada. Take that, Canada. Go. America's still the best.
True. Way to go. They're just like, whatever. Americans can't even talk.
Or USA.
You just proved them wrong. Okay, so real quick, we'll talk about the Comic-Con. There's some interesting news about Comic-Con that they might be moving because of the fact that San Diego really just can't handle it anymore. There's some talk that they might move to Disneyland area. We're going to Disneyland. Comic-Con. You just got overrun by people. What are you going to do now? But technically, just be Anaheim, the Anaheim Convention Center, which I've been to. Yeah. It's really nice, really big. I think it'd be a great venue for it. They have tons of hotels there, obviously, because it's Disney and everything. But I mean, what do you guys think? Do you think it's Comic-Con so iconic in San Diego that it can't leave, or? What do you guys think?
I don't think they should move it because.
Yeah, what are they going to do? Are they going to compete with the tourists of Disney World?
And you've got to look, they're selling tickets. I don't understand how they can overpack a city when they're deciding how many people can even go.
Mm-hmm. But it's still overrun. If you read it, I mean, they're always talking about how bad it's.
There's a lot of people there, yeah. I'm not saying there's five people that show up and they're just overwhelmed.
But they could sell more tickets. I mean, Comic-Con is its own organization. They have to think about their bottom line, and they have to think.
Right. No, I think it's going to come down to a money decision, but I don't think they can get. I don't think they can get Disneyland for an entire weekend.
Well, it's not just it's Anaheim, but.
Yeah, Anaheim for an entire weekend at a cheap rate that maybe they'll even make money. But I think in the end, they'll go with the choice that makes the most money.
Okay. What'd you say? Scott?
So if they go through orbits, they might get a good rating.
they'll go with where the money is, and wherever the money is, they'll take that.
Yeah, there's some talk about them going to Vegas, too, which I think is interesting.
That would be terrible.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
If you have problems in San Diego with overcrowding, why would you go to Vegas?
There's a lot more. I don't know how big their venues are. They obviously have a lot.
They have huge venues in Vegas. I'm not saying that, but it's a lot more crowded than San Diego.
Well, it's not an issue. The crowding issue is inside the convention area and then the hotels.
Right, but imagine how hellish it would be to get from the convention center to a hotel if you're in Vegas.
Yeah, you'd have to time it out.
I don't think Vegas is a good choice at all.
No, they are.
And that would be totally not original to put a convention in Vegas.
And it's also, you're talking about people who like live with their parents. They're not going to really get what Vegas is about. No.
Good one.
No,
I think it should stay San Diego.
Why
am I doing that? San Diego Comic Con. That's what it's been. It should stay like that. And I just don't sell as many tickets if you have problems. Jesus.
But they want to sell tickets. They want to, that makes
sense. I know. They got a problem. They're addicted. Sell more tickets.
But I think I think I've heard some stuff about them even building in another area. But it's also like I said, it's not just a convention.
Building
space.
Another San Diego.
Yeah, exactly. You know what San Diego means in Spanish.
Do.
But the hotel rooms, I think, is what, from what the article I was reading about it, seems to be the biggest issue, where it just gets overcrowded and it's really expensive, and to try to get them to dedicate more space to it, which they already are doing, it's really tough in that area.
I'm just going to stay in my old apartment in San Diego. I'm just going to break in at next Comic-Con. It'll be all right. I'm like, no, it's okay. I used to live here.
it's just doing the beach. There's plenty of space.
There's tons of beach space. Come on, just hang out under a pier.
Oh man, yeah. So I don't know. I'd like to see it here just because it's a little easier access for me, but it would also make traffic horrible during that time period. Because
so
I mean,
Vegas.
Hmm.
Never mind.
Anyway. So that's the only thing. I think that it just seems like it continues to grow and grow. It's almost, part of the allure of it originally was it's kind of like a geek land, but it's becoming a lot more mainstream.
I say don't move it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they have to start making certain precautions.
Of course you want them to move it. You live right by the place.
But, I mean, yeah, exactly. That's why
I'm saying. That's a very biased thing. I don't live anywhere near there. I don't think I should move it.
Well, I mean, actually, I think it would actually be better to keep it in San Diego, just because, like I said, the traffic. Because I live right next to Anaheim, and I would feel that traffic, that influx. So, keeping it in San Diego, I can feel it in my bones. But
I can feel the traffic coming in the San Diego.
Wow. So, but San Diego, terrible. San Diego is far enough that I don't have to worry about that. And it's nice to go to a trip to San Diego. I mean, San Diego is a great city, and it's nice to get away from here and stuff. So you already have enough crowding here when it comes to traffic and all that other stuff. So I can see why it would be problematic. But I wouldn't be surprised. Like I said, it's all about the bottom line. They want money. And so
I think they should move it to Binghamton, New York.
Yeah.
There's plenty of space.
I think we have an arena.
Oh, come on. East Coast, New York? We're like,
yeah, come on.
What you want.
They have a New York.
WonderCon does not count. Don't even say it.
Aww.
You put Comic-Con in Woodstock?
They're not using it for anything.
Exactly. Just corn.
Oh, they should put it in Miami.
And you gotta remember, there's a lot of other cons out there that are in other cities. Obviously, San Diego Comic-Con's the biggest. And that's it. It's San Diego Comic-Con. It's not Las Vegas Comic-Con at the convention center that everybody uses for everything. It's
right.
The San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah, like I said, it's become an iconic thing.
Because that works oh so well with the New York Giants and the New York Jets.
Yeah. I don't know what you just said, but yeah.
I'm not sure about that. Anything, but
because the New York Giants and the New York Jets are in New Jersey.
I figured that's where you were going, but I didn't.
Yeah.
So are you saying they're going to move it to Anaheim and still call it San Diego Comic-Con?
Actually, what I'm thinking, exactly.
Okay.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, if they did that, I'd be fine with that.
There you go.
That'd be okay.
They should move it to Vegas and still call it that. Still call it San Diego Comic-Con.
Exactly.
Wells Vagina Comic-Con.
Exactly.
Yeah, that would be the worst Comic-Con. Oh. Oh, no. Why did I think about that?
Oh, Jesus.
Big convention in a whale. So vagina.
Oh, wow. This is the best firecast of all time.
Yeah.
Let me see. Anyway, okay, so let's move on to something else. Last thing before we kind of just do our self-promoting. Lost, we have been doing the recaps and reviews every night of Lost, and it's been getting a lot of good reads. A lot of people were talking about last season, trying to get the answers. So this is probably something where me and Corey will take over real quick.
Absolutely.
Yes, go ahead.
To the bathroom.
Is the island back yet?
The island is in one universe. There's
multiple. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. As soon as you start talking about that kind of stuff. Corey, do you want to talk about Lost?
No.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
All right, so just quickly, just kind of talk about some of the things, like some interesting things from last episode and what you're looking forward to.
I'm looking forward to, well, like you said on Facebook, finding out where the island is. And since we found out from the season 6 opener that there's two alternative realities.
Right. So the question is whether they're going to come together or not.
Yeah, that's my two biggest things. I want to see how, if they're going to ever be able to intertwine. And my biggest, yeah, those are my two biggest things right now. I mean, sure. I mean, I really don't care for the temple people, Kate, Sawyer. I don't care for, like, Kate, any of them. I'm only interested in Sawyer and Fake Locke right now. And alternate reality. Yeah, an alternate story, an alternate reality Locke, Jack, right now. That's all I really want to know about.
Yeah, the scene from last week was so great. The ending scene with Claire, and where she's like, "That's not Locke, that's my friend." It's like such a great scene. The whole thing with her and Jin, and yeah, that's what I think. I mean, you have all these things where people are trying to figure out. You know, they keep saying, "Oh, this is the season you're going to find all the answers," and you just keep getting more and more questions. I mean, like, yeah, they're answering certain things, but
surprise,
I know, really. But I mean, you kind of are getting. We're starting to understand the numbers a little bit, maybe. And about why certain characters are important. So that's kind of good. I mean, it's just, there's so much, and they've even said themselves they can't answer every question. And it's just, I mean, that's the big thing is, can you really wrap this up in a neat way while still answering the questions? But
I think that's their own fault.
I think they kind of put themselves in a position where it's like, they raised all these questions, and then, but some of it is like, they weren't planning on certain things to have to be such a big issue. When they're writing these things.
Oh, but those are the small things that are kind of the more bigger things now.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, they're trying to find a way to make that all come together without, you know, pissing people off. That's going to be the problem. And no matter what, you're going to have people mad. I mean, I think it'd be cool if they did like a podcast or something where they really kind of just go through a list of like, well, what about this? What about that? And then they kind of answer it, because it's like, you can't do it in the show without it becoming a list of things. You know, your story just goes away and it becomes a list of, here are the answers you wanted to know. It'd be just so boring. So I think they gotta find a way to answer the important questions. I think it's fine to leave a few things up in the air, because that's part of what's fun about Lost is the mystery. And you can't know everything, and you shouldn't know everything. And that's the thing. I think, like I said, early on, they were doing the show, and there's some big questions they raised, but then people started also looking at the little questions, and, you know, I don't think they realized that every single thing they did would be scrutinized. I mean, to the point where it was like, people were looking at, I remember following it too, people were looking at newspaper clippings that were part of the, that they would just happen to look at, or x-rays, and they'd be like, oh, that's the wrong hospital, or, you know, like they're just regular props that they use, and people were looking at every little minute detail to see, mm-hmm. like, if it could give them hints, and I'm like, these guys aren't thinking that deep, you know. I mean, there's certain things they do, they deliberately put little Easter eggs in there, but, I mean, sometimes people just look way too deep.
Yeah, I agree.
But, I mean, I just think it's been really, it's very riveting. Like I said, it's hard to get into. But you're just sitting there just kind of waiting, like, what's going to happen? You know, where is this all leading to? And it's taken a turn for the better. I love seeing Locke or Terry O'Quinn playing this character, as opposed to Locke, the kind of, like, whiny Locke. You know, he's playing this really kind of assertive character, and seeing some of the tables turn. I mean, I just think the acting in this season has been really good.
Oh yeah, especially by Josh Holloway. He's probably, him and Terry O'Quinn.
Who would have thought they had... Yeah, I mean, who would have thought that Sawyer's character would have became so the depth in his character was just amazing.
Yeah.
I mean,
I thought
he was just going to be the redneck, you know. He watched the pilot episode especially, he figured he's just going to be the redneck antagonist, and he ends up becoming one of the central characters, and he has so many different layers to him. Like an onion. Like a parfait.
But, sure that. Yeah.
So I think it's really good. I mean, I think it's been a really good season. I mean, I know we've talked about, you know, who's reviewing the good episodes, who's reviewing the bad episodes, but I mean, yeah. I think overall though, I think it's been really good.
You finally got to
review. I would agree with that. It's
fantastic. Huh? Are you watching?
You finally got.
No.
You idiot.
I can't. I tried last season. I'll tell you, I watched last season. I figured I'm not going to take time to watch all the old ones, so
right.
I'm going to pick up in the middle. It's Lost, and it's hard to do. So I followed it for a little while, and I'm like, okay, I understand now. I know his name. So that's the season finale. Season finale. I've been watching Lost for maybe – I didn't watch all of season four, I think, right?
Five is Lost.
Okay, I didn't watch all of season five. Did you just chuckle at me for not knowing that, Corey?
You probably did.
How naive. No, but yeah, I didn't watch all of season five. I kind of picked up in the middle of season five, which but in itself, you're picking up at Lost, and that's then in the fair. Middle of the season. That's terrible. But so I was watching it, and so I get to the season finale, and I'm watching it, and the island disappears. And I decided then and there I'd never watch another episode.
That was season four, I think, though, wasn't it?
Was it?
Yeah, because
I missed the season. I don't know. I decided to never watch it, so.
Yeah, because that was in the season four was when the island disappeared. So
oh, my bad.
But no, it's all
right. I was right, Corey.
Yeah, oh, yeah. But no, but yeah, but like, a lot of people get that. I mean, especially when you're following it, you think you get it, and then all of a sudden something really crazy happens.
Yeah, like these an markers. Island disappearing.
Yeah, so I mean, I mean, believe when I saw that, I was like, what the hell?
I think everyone was.
Yeah, I mean, for me, for that show, I mean, I think it's a great show. And a lot of people try to go, oh, it's, you know, it's hard to follow, I don't like it, but I mean, if you're able to get into it early and catch up, then it's, I mean, it's, there's some really great just cinematic moments in there that are so good. And like the season finale of season three, where the first time they ever do a flash forward instead of a flashback, it's just like, it just blows your mind. So, I mean, there's some things in there that there's some really great moments in there, but it's just, you know, like I was going to try to watch all of them before the season, and I was like, "Wait, that's 74 hours worth of television that I'd have to watch in order to catch up for the season." You know, just because I just wanted to see if I could do it as like a marathon. And there's like, I don't think I have that much time, and so it's just so much to try to cover, and like it's hard to pick up on that at all. Even though they have like the nice little like end of the season, beginning of the season, little like recaps.
Yeah.
You know, the hour long recaps that can only cover so much. I mean, that's really more for the people who have been watching it and just forgot. Cause I've done that before where I've tried to watch the beginning of a season, except I've watched every episode as they've aired. And I tried to watch the beginning of a season. I was totally confused, even though I'd already watched all the episodes, because it's just, they have such big breaks. And so that's where those nice little hour things come into play. Yeah, it's just, it's tough sometimes to really get into that kind of stuff. Right. You gotta watch them on DVD. I watched the first season straight through on DVD in like 3 days. And
sorry
it was,
about that.
No, it was great.
Did you die?
No. No.
Are you broken?
I'm broken. No, it was
Did
great.
You call somebody?
I watched four episodes, and I'll never recover from that.
No, except the first
season. An island disappeared.
The first season was a lot more straightforward. The first season was a lot more straightforward.
They didn't use any black mist islands disappearing or randomness?
There was a little bit of randomness, but it had a little bit more direction to it.
I think also in season four, didn't someone die that was still alive? I don't know, I just remember there being a funeral.
But that was
me.
That was zombies.
That was my interest in watching the show died in the first season.
That's the secret of the island, is that there's zombies everywhere.
Scott, I was telling about the only part of the season I watched was when the island disappeared, and then I decided I'd never watch another episode.
It makes perfect sense.
It does.
That's a bad episode.
I've never seen more than 2 minutes of a show.
Aw.
That's good.
I think I watched the big guy eat like a candy bar once when they broke into some area.
Nice.
And then that was that. That was all she wrote for me.
Aw. That's okay. Yeah. I know you're too busy watching 16 and Pregnant on MTV.
No.
I'd rather watch that than Lost.
Oh.
Ow. That's nice.
At least I can follow that. I know what's going on. You're not going to be disappearing babies or anything.
You never know.
I feel like people are eating babies.
I was pregnant one day, and the next day it was gone.
I didn't know I was pregnant.
It's another universe.
It's another alternate universe. She's not pregnant in this one.
Yeah. Alternate universe babies.
Oh, it's an alternate universe baby.
All right. Let's wrap this up.
Let's wrap it up. I just want to mention quickly, Dan is going to get a tattoo.
Oh, yeah.
Facebook page gets 1,000 fans, so.
Yep. I'm calling it the 1,000 challenge.
Now, if it doesn't get 1,000, will you still do it?
No. I don't.
Really?
I don't have a time limit.
I thought you said you wanted it.
Well, I want to do it, but I want to do it for a reason. I've never had a tattoo, so this would be my first tattoo.
You can do it to promote your awesome
stuff. I was thinking, and it's so funny, because I was telling my friends about what you were going to do, and I would jokingly said, that right after you get the tattoo, I'd fire you.
Nice. And then your site wouldn't exist anymore, because I'm the one that does everything.
Actually, I'm proud of myself. Recently, I've been doing pretty good.
Yeah, you've been really good.
I've been stepping it up.
Yeah. Maybe once you get your tattoo, we'll see if the site continues.
No.
Exactly.
That would still be worth it. I don't...
I hate you.
That would be terrible.
That would be terrible. Yeah, so 1,000 challenge. If we get 1,000 fans on our Facebook page, then that's when I'll get my tattoo. And I'm going to – if you guys have any ideas for designs for it, go ahead and send those to us on our Facebook page. You can link us to your pages or post them on the wall.
I'm hoping you're going to go with something subtle, like maybe initials, like MV.
Well, but I want to be cool.
I'm going to design something subtle.
I would just say, Dan, don't put movie viral. Don't say movie viral. That would be bad.
I don't know. Like, it all depends on the design. Like, I'm not gonna just write, you know, movie viral. Like,
right? No, I mean, but I wouldn't even write it in there. I would subtly like MV. That's how I would do it. I don't think I would.
But then it feels like I'm cheating the whole concept. Like, you know,
put movie viral on there, and I'll close the site.
There you go.
I'm just saying. Like, I'm thinking like. 5 years down the road, will movie. I hope it does. I think it will. But
it's a memory. It's a memory.
That's true. We worked and we got a lot. And
I went to a premiere because of this. I got to barely talk to a celebrity.
Yeah, that. I mean, we have done a lot of stuff with the site, and it's very proud. But I don't know if I'm going to tattoo myself.
I will.
Dan will too. Apparently,
that's going to be my 1,000. That'll be my 1,001 challenge.
Scott, you. It's surprising that you're. That's great. It's surprising that you're even a writer, because literally we invited you back to be a writer after you had a coup on the forum. So you have this coup, and then we're like, hey, you want to be a writer? Literally like 2 days after it happened. So,
and guess what? The coup worked.
And then it did. And then 3 days, we made you an editor.
No.
Look at where we are now.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's true. You have done the settlement.
We're getting ready to tattoo Dan's arm.
Exactly.
Is this the hangover?
You need to put the movie viral logo on your inner lip.
Oh, God.
Do it.
I'm going to tattoo my forehead. I just want to put a barcode on the back of my neck.
Make it so.
Put it on my ass. I'll just put movie on one cheek and then viral on the other one. Where would I put the .com?
And then we could put that in the recognition and references.
Exactly.
We're on day of ass. When Dan actually makes it big and goes to write for a better blog, that'll be our recognition. We're on Dan's ass.
There's just a big X.
Oh, man. But yeah, so, yeah, become our fan on Facebook.
You need friends on Facebook.
I know. No, so yeah, so if you're a fan, like I said, get tattoos. Giving your designs, painted design. Like I said, it's a cool design. Like, I don't mind having a little movie bro if it has a really cool design around it. I'm open to it.
It will be a good memory because we've done a lot with the site. And
yeah, and it's something cool. And, you know, I mean, tattoo, when the hell is a tattoo ever reasonable? So so I just think it'd be cool to do. Like, if, you know, I'm not going to do it on my forehead or something stupid like that. But
Does your mom know about this?
No.
What's I'm going to tell her.
I don't think she cares.
She's going to know.
That's fine. But, no, I'll probably tell them. I think it's a cool idea. But,
it is.
Anyway, so the other thing we have going on that you guys should know about is our Boondock Saints poster contest.
That is correct.
When is that? Are we ending that, Scott?
That is going to end on the 11th, which happens to be the exact same day that their 10th anniversary showing of the original film in theaters is.
Is
that
a coincidence?
Fair. I think so.
So yeah, so if you guys... So,
yes, it ends on the 11th, and the winter... the winter. It's going to be winter. The winners will be notified from yours truly on St. Patrick's Day, unless I'm drunk, and then you might get notified like 6 days later.
Or you might get some other kind of notifications from Scott.
I'll send you emails from the pub.
There you go. But yeah, so definitely, yeah, if you guys get a ticket, then you you know, email it to us at what is it? What's the email that we're using for?
Contest@movieviral.com.
Very simple. Contest@movieviral.com.
Yes.
Contest.
And then you're entered.
Movieviral.com.
.com.
And then he'll be entered into to win an autographed poster. Who's it
autographed?
Yes. Autographed from the writer-director Troy Duffy, so
very
this
nice.
Would be a nice,
very famous
work to hang in your room, and I will be jealous that you have it.
There's a lot of, I know there's a lot of Boondock Saints fans out there, so it's definitely good. And if you're getting a ticket to the showing, you probably are definitely a fan. So, you know, go ahead, send it to us. I think it's all the contests we have going on. Like I said, when the Crazies comes out on DVD, whenever that is, I will give away all four comics to somebody. We'll do something really cool for that.
Nice.
Yeah, I think that'd be a nice little collection for somebody. It's like I said, we talked about it before, great, great comics, and, you know, it's, you save money because, you know, you don't spend on it. I think that's it. Same old, keep following us. We'll keep giving you updates about the Tron stuff. We'll have our Crazies viral review soon.
I've heard, I'd just like to mention this quickly, that the Tron will actually be seeing an update soon. That's what I've heard.
Ooh, very nice. And I know the trailer's supposed to come out later this week, so we'll definitely have that. Yeah. And anything else we give you, you know, keep looking at the viral videos that we give you, the little funny little things here and there. Again, as always, if you guys have ideas for viral that, you know, you've seen, you think that we should talk about, let us know. You know, that's part of what makes this all work, is you guys sending us tips and things like that. Mm-hmm. So if you guys see anything, let us know.
Yep.
And that's it. Thanks, guys, for joining us on this very special. Every single one of these is a very special.
It's very special Christmas episode.
I know. On a very special blossom. yeah.
If you're watching Mayim, friend us.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Friend us on Mayim. Mayim Bialik. I want her to friend us.
What are you saying right now?
Some person he knows, he wants to friend us.
Mayim Bialik.
Again, follow us at Twitter, twitter.com/movieviral. Facebook.com. Well, if we get to 1,000 fans, I could do Facebook.com/movieviral.
Right.
That'd be nice. So that's another that's another reason why to get us.
But until then, Facebook.com/group/1930.
Exactly. Oh, man. All right. So thanks, guys. And that's it.